Good afternoon. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Monday, October 22nd. I'm Ray Graff. You just heard the candidates in New York's 19th Congressional District debating live from the Linda, WAMC's Performing Arts Studio. WAMC's Alan Shartok, News Director Ian Pickus, and Hudson Valley Bureau Chief Allison Dunn will be along shortly with their takes. But how do you think Republican Congressman John Faso, Democrat Antonio Delgado, the Green Party's Steve Greenfield, and Independent Diane Neal did? With about 2 weeks left before Election Day, who do you think will win? We welcome your calls now at 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop, or you can email us, voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. If you want to weigh in, I would get in line early. It's only half of a show, so we won't have that much time. Considered a battleground area, the 19th Congressional District is located in New York's Hudson Valley and Catskill regions. It's comprised of all or part of 11 counties north of the New York City metro area to the Capital Region. Congressman John Faso, a Republican who served as minority leader in the New York State Assembly, is running for a second term. Democrat Antonio Delgado is a political newcomer, as is Independent Diane Neal. She is best known for her role as Casey Novak on Law & Order SVU. The Green Party's Steve Greenfield is a former Board of Education member for the New Paltz Central School District. The race for the 19th Congressional District, it's neck and neck. According to a new poll, a Siena College Spectrum News poll released today shows 1 point separating John Faso, the Republican, and Democrat Antonio Delgado. 44% of likely voters support Faso, while 43% support Delgado. The poll shows that 6% are with a third-party candidate and 7% are undecided. The Green Party's Steve Greenfield and Independent Diane Neal would be the third-party candidates in that poll. Meanwhile, a high-profile politician or two stumping for their party's candidates. House Speaker Paul Ryan was in the district last week, appearing with Faso, while former Vice President Joe Biden is scheduled to rally for Delgado in Kingston on October 26th. Again, the number here is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You know, our panelists raced across the street, dodging traffic from the Linda over here to 318 and Studio A to be here. And we welcome now Ian Pickus, Allison Dunn, and Alan Shartok. Ian, your first take here.
I'm relieved. And I was just saying to Allison on the walk over, I think everyone kind of did themselves justice today. There weren't too many surprises for people like the people in the studio who've been following this race since the primaries. I was very interested in some of the questions that they haven't answered before. I could be wrong, but I'm not sure if John Faso has ever said for whom he voted in the 2016 election, so we might have uncovered a new nugget there.
That was an interesting 22 seconds of silence there at the end of that two-word answer. First of all, just I don't want to pat everybody on the back too much, but I think you all handled this debate extremely well. We've seen some rather raucous debates over the last couple of years nationally and locally, and I thought you guys did a heck of a good job. So nice work.
I just wanted to take a moment to thank Ian Pickus, because his organization of this debate was phenomenal. He had it timed down to the minute. He had extra questions in case we needed them. He knew when to hold them at the very end to 30 seconds. So it looked easy, but that's how the sausage was made here. And Ian, congratulations. You did a great job.
Thanks, boss. One thing on that real quick. Steve Greenfield was saying, I wish we talked about this, 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 and this. And I wanted to show him the second half of our script with all the questions we weren't able to get to.
Sure. Alan, as the political scientist among us, was there a clear anybody who made any hay today?
No, I didn't think so. I was a little concerned. The audience clearly, if you heard the spontaneous applause, was clearly there to support Delgado, and yet I think each of them. John Faso is a very good debater, and we have seen that before. But this was a very, I thought, even keeled debate, which people had to make up their mind. I think Delgado's great moments came when he defended, you know, this idea that he was some kind of dangerous rapper, who had said, bad things about women and stuff. He handled that with aplomb. I think that the problem for Faso was that he had to defend much of what was happening with Donald Trump. And that's not an easy thing to do in New York. And I don't think it's possible, to tell you the truth.
Hudson Valley Bureau Chief Allison Dunn is here. You've been following this race very closely for a long time. What is your overarching takeaway from this?
There's some preceding ones. I found Congressman Faso and Antonio Delgado to be rather quiet in their responses. I didn't see the biting from Congressman Faso, though quiet, that we've seen in the previous race. I also didn't see him relying on his record. He's the only one up there with a record. And he really didn't talk about it all that much. It seemed that he was more generic about helping veterans with disabilities. Well, all congressional representatives do that.
He did make a point of bringing up the fact that he was 18th on the bipartisan list out of 400.
That comes up a lot, right?
Yeah.
That is something that he touts quite often, and any chance that he gets, he does do that. It was interesting to, they went after each other, but not super attack-wise. I think when they felt the other was factually incorrect, they did that. This is coming down to who shows up in the voting booth.
Absolutely.
And they know that. So they were not preaching to the audience that was assembled there. It's going to count. Really, voter turnout is this race. 1 point is nothing.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. It's an abbreviated version of Vox Pop. Let's go to the phones. And Lucia in Oneonta is first. Lucia.
Yes, thank you. I want to thank Ian Pickus again. That was a really well-organized, you could hear it from what you didn't hear, debate. I do wish that we had some sort of a grants program that would pay for a lot of other debates before we get down this close to be having the non-Democratic and Republican candidates in. I hope didn't hurt anything. And I think Faso was hoping it hurt something with his clever little 22-second pause after that question. I really feel as though Faso could afford to be Mr. Magnanimous, because I tell you what comes into our P.O. boxes from his campaign, these horribly racist mailers. I've received three racist anti-Delgado mailers from Faso's organization, and I'm a registered Democrat. So I want to thank you for holding this debate, and I hope that people will support Faso, because I think Delgado, we've got to get rid of this Faso character. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the call. Anybody want to comment?
Well, if you didn't watch it, you saw Steve Greenfield at some point, actually, of his own volition, hold up mailers that he's received in, of course, the 19th Congressional District, and saying that here's this black man scaring blonde women and children, pretty much what he said.
Yeah, and there was a reaction. A palpable reaction from the audience who was sitting there. Look, this has been a big issue in this campaign. Faso has been saying, I can't control that. That comes from Washington. It's a different group of people than I am. There is no question that if John Faso thought it was hurting him, he would say to the people in Washington, you just cut it out, and they'd cut it out.
But it's obviously working, or these wouldn't continue, right? I mean, I hear your point, but these ads keep going, and they're coming from Delgado's camp as well. I mean, there are untruths being told on both sides of the issue. The question is, do these issues stick with the voters? Are voters going to go and vote based on the ad of whatever party?
Some will.
Yep.
I just want to say that I'm sort of proud of the decision that we had after a lot of hard meetings and a lot of time spent discussing it about including all of the candidates. We've had a 7-person Democratic primary debate.
Yes.
We've had a 5- or 6-person Attorney General Democratic debate way back in 2010, where we left a seat open for Eric Schneiderman, who never showed up. So it's not necessarily the mechanics of getting everybody up on that stage. But I'm proud of our decision just to say we're public radio and, maybe they're going to get 1% of the vote. But that's not decided yet. And they have a right to be heard.
But it's an important factor, because there may be some who look at them and say, well, I may vote for one of the major party candidates based on something I heard here today. And
sure,
every single vote in this district is going to count.
You better believe it. Look, we had a poll today that we saw in which there was a 1-point differential. To understand how silly that is, Octavio Cortez down in Queens won a congressional primary by 50 points. 50 percentage points over what the pollsters said she was going to get. So this is going to be a very, very close race.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. It's Vox Pop today. And we go to Rick in Albany. Rick.
Hi, everybody. You did a really great job with the debate, I have to say, although I didn't hear one surprise from anybody. It could have been a fill-in-the-blank kind of debate. But I wanted to point out the question on Social Security always befuddles me that no one wants to discuss the fact that Social Security is a perpetually funded system where the younger people who work pay in, and that supports the people who are retired. But the biggest issue with Social Security starts with Paul Ryan and his gang, who have been breaking unions and suppressing wages, which actually have less money going into Social Security, which gives them this lie that they can tell that there's no money in the Social Security fund. The breaking of unions and keeping the middle class wages down is one of the biggest challenges of Social Security. And I just wish that one of the candidates would point that part of it out, that it's not necessarily a savings account. It's a perpetually funded account. And if the younger people who are working are not making enough money or making less money because of union busting is one of them, but also wage suppression, that that's the biggest threat to Social Security. Any opinion on that?
Well, yeah, I do. I got to tell you that for years, Social Security, the trust fund, was raided by the Congress. That's how we were balancing the budget, because the cowards in Congress didn't want to come up with the money that they needed to fund the government. And so, you know, if they had kept their hands off of it, there would be no problem now.
I have something
right,
tangential.
It seems like they're still trying to get revenge on FDR's policies. They're trying to undo Social Security by making sure that not enough money goes into it. So then they could say, it's broke.
I hear you.
They're breaking it.
Allison,
right,
done.
Well, enjoy yourself. You did a great job, Alan. I'm really impressed.
Thanks, Rick. Go ahead, Allison.
By the way, I think Steve Greenfield did somewhat address that in his some of his remarks. In any case, you know, we had an AARP put out a poll they put out a poll in the race. And they also put out something on the issues for just Antonio Delgado and Congressman Faso. But what I wanted to say here, and to the point of the poll, is that the 50-plus voter block is the biggest voting block in the 19th. And so this is another, you know, that topic is extremely important, Medicare, Social Security, if you get the 50-plus voting block out to vote. And the polls, by the way, since the summer have been close. This is the closest one we've seen, but I don't think there's been one more than 5-point difference, which
right? And Allison, they've been all over the place. There are polls that have shown Delgado winning and Delgado losing, and it's all a bunch of baloney right now.
It is. The point is they've all been so close. There's not one that had someone leading by 10, 12 points.
It's all about whether people come out and vote. And the one thing that we didn't hear much about today, and I was surprised, was about Trump himself. Because if this Congress goes over to the Democrats, it for the first time, one branch of government will be in a position to hold Trump accountable. So it's very interesting that in this whole thing, nobody bothered to talk too much about Trump.
Let me jump in and say Alan recorded a Congressional Corner series with Antonio Delgado that will be airing in the coming days and pressed him on this very point about impeachment, what the Democrats would do to hold his feet to the fire if they retake the House. And for his part, Antonio Delgado said, we need to wait for the report. We have to see what Robert Mueller's cards say, and then we'll decide about that.
We'll take a quick break here. It's Vox Pop. The number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. We'll be back with more of your calls and more analysis coming up. Welcome back to Vox Pop on WAMC, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Well, you heard the candidates in New York's 19th Congressional District debating here live on WAMC. Republican Congressman John Faso, Democrat Antonio Delgado, the Green Party's Steve Greenfield, and Independent Diane Neal. And our number here, if you'd like to weigh in with your thoughts, 800-348-2551. There's a lot of gesticulations going on here in the studio. We have Alan Shartok here, Allison Dunn, and Ian Pickus all sharing some private joke away from the professor.
It is anything but a joke. It is anything but a joke. We're discussing how to do certain things the right
it
way.
It was an organizational matter.
Fine. Well, write it down. Someone wrote it down. This one came in via email from Greg. Hey, guys, I agree with Allison Dunn that Delgado and Faso seem to play it safe, and it seemed neck and neck between them. Out of all of them on the panel, I thought that Steve Greenfield had the most standout moments of the debate. Do you agree? And if so, can that be counted as a win for Faso? Great job, guys. Thanks for having this debate. And that's from Greg.
Well, I think the point of this comment is excellent because obviously John Faso insisted, let's get this right, that all four be there. Isn't that right, Ian?
That is right.
And the reason he wanted that, obviously, is that every vote that gets the both of these other candidates are obviously in the more liberal camp. And any vote that they get is a vote that is probably going to detract from Delgado. That's why we, in order to have this, Ian said, we in public radio really like to give everybody a chance, and we do, no question. On the other hand, I think if you took a poll among our listeners, they would have said, we want, because we know these two are going to be, where this is where the contest is. So that's right.
I think, yeah, Steve Greenfield definitely had some interesting things to say, and he's very bright, obviously, yeah. And he's got some good ideas. And, you know, some of the things he raises are very valuable to bring to the floor, and you would hope that, you know, someone listens to them. And for that matter, Diane Neal had a few things to say that were kind of interesting. So, you know, the point is that Congressman Faso is not going to raise the name Donald Trump on his own. He's not going to point that. That would be suicide, right? So Antonio Delgado, though, I think is taking every possible moment he has on the airwaves, TV, at someone's front door to not go down that route and put his platform out there. He has such little time to get people over. And if he's spending that time critiquing Donald Trump, he's taking away from what he has to make a name for himself. People don't know what he stands for, who he is, maybe on some doorstep. So I think he's being more cautious in that regard and not going that route.
You know, it's in true contrast to the debate with Senator Warren and Jeff Diehl, in which Senator Warren pretty much tied Diehl to Trump at every turn that she possibly could. So this was a real contrast to that today.
Well, sure, remember, but that's blue state. No, and it's also blue state Massachusetts, where I live. Let me tell you. He's not a very popular, Trump is not a very popular fellow in Massachusetts.
Well, the polls say that Trump's not all that popular in New York.
Well, not upstate New York. Remember, there's a good deal of these districts which are fairly conservative. They're gun-toting and all the rest of it. So, yes, there are a couple of these counties which, you know, which have a liberal streak in them, but not all of them by any means.
Let's read one more email here, and then we'll get back to the phones. 800-348-2551. John writes, it was disappointing to hear John Faso's refusal to denounce his racist ads that paint Delgado as a, quote, big city rapper. We know code when we hear it. And that is from John. Anybody?
He had a shot to do that, and he repeated what's been his answer on this since day one, which is, these are outside ads. I don't control them. In fairness, at the end, he did circle back and say, I wouldn't want anyone's vote who's voting merely against Delgado because he happens to be a black person. He said, don't vote for me, effectively.
Now, I listened very carefully to that, and that's a very safe thing to say because he's not going outside a voting booth and telling someone how to vote or not vote at that very moment. But it was something new for him to say, and it was another expression from him.
We are joined today by Alan Chartok and Allison Dunn and Ian Pickus and you at 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Rebecca in New Paltz has been waiting patiently. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi. I am very patient. Thank you.
Good.
great to hear you guys. That was a really wonderful debate, and I agree with everyone who's applauding Ian because it was
On the third time, let me just jump in and say we had an entire staff of people doing this, from the building to the ticketing.
He's lying, Rebecca. He did it all himself.
There's no village. Just kidding.
No.
I agree, but I know the finger on the button.
Yeah, you got that right.
Yeah. Yes. So obviously, I'm from New Paltz, and I have been working with Steve Greenfield for a number of years. I also have been elected twice locally. I've served as deputy mayor for two different terms in New Paltz. And just to put it in perspective, 15 years ago, I was putting on a fundraiser for the fire department, and I asked Steve to play with his band, and that's when he enrolled as a firefighter, and he's come a long way since then. It's been great. He's a huge force for them. But in the meantime, like all these years, we've worked together very closely. The whole marriage civil liberties issue that we did with marriage equality. He was a big part of it, background, you know, and that's all I have to say.
Is that enough for him? Is that enough for you to vote for Steve Greenfield for Congress in a swing district?
Oh, come on. I have more.
Okay, well, that's good. We've got to get to the next call.
We have other calls, but
thanks,
but I want to ask you a question.
Alan wants to ask you a question.
I want to ask
Rebecca.
You a question, and that is, if in fact, there's only one way that Donald Trump gets held accountable, in my mind, in this country, and that is if the House flips. And if Steve, who I like very much, and we interviewed at great length here on WAMC, as you remember, if Steve takes away just enough votes to assure Faso of a victory, how would you feel then?
Oh, my gosh. That is not even an option for me. I will vote for Steve. I don't vote anything other than what I believe in.
Okay. Fair enough. Thank you very much. We got to take a lot of other calls.
Rebecca, thanks for the call. We go to Len in Eckerd. Len, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. You're on.
I really have to agree with you guys. I really want to vote for Delgado. I think he's a brilliant guy. The problem is he keeps doing the same thing and not telling us what he's about and attacking. And it just doesn't make sense to me at this stage of the game.
I don't think you're right.
When you say attack via ads or on stage today, or in what venue do you mean attacking?
Well, today, you know, he continues to say what Faso has not done or is doing or what he can do, but he's not saying what he can accomplish. And that's my problem, I guess.
Well, he did say what he could accomplish.
My read.
He did say what he accomplished today.
It's coming through, I guess, for me.
Well, it's interesting interpretation, yeah. I felt he did both at the same time, but I also felt, you know, as did Congressman Faso, take the time to kind of berate the other.
It's useless time. We know what we know where the divide is, and that's okay. I'm okay with that. But at the same time, just drill on what we can accomplish together.
So could I ask what would you like to have heard? Is there a topic, just briefly, super briefly, what is it that you don't know about Antonio Delgado that you wanted to know?
Really is where he stands on Social Security and things like that. That's a complete attack.
Feel free to go to WAMC.org because there's a news story I did on it where they were both in telephone town halls for AARP, and both Congressman Faso and Antonio Delgado both lay out their visions. Please go to AARP. They're pretty well laid out there.
Len, thanks for the call. The number here is 800-348-2551. In the remaining minute or two, we have Ian Pickus. You are the most dedicated news director I have seen in my thousands of years in radio. Did you learn anything new today from these candidates?
I did. I thought the Gary Johnson thing was new to my ears from Congressman Faso. And I also had not seen Diane Neal on stage yet. Allison has. I hadn't. And I thought that was also illuminating.
Allison, you have been covering this very closely. What new thing did you take out of this debate today?
Really nothing. I thought it would be a little more heated than it was. But as I said, and a caller said before, they played it safe. And I see why. I really didn't learn anything new.
And back to Gary Johnson for a minute.
Yeah.
Hey, Trump is immensely unpopular. And if you say, oh, well, I'm going to tell you something, I voted for Gary Johnson, that means you see the train coming down the track.
What's the train going to be carrying?
Well, it certainly isn't going to be carrying a lot of people who are going to say, I'm voting for you because you said you voted for Donald Trump.
Okay. Any final thoughts here in the last 45 seconds, Ian Pickus?
I'm glad to have worked with WNYT. They did a great job building the stage, and they're going to be showing the debate in full next Saturday at 9:30 in the morning. So if you missed it, you can hear the audio on our website. We Facebook Lived it as well, and it'll be on TV. And honestly, to echo what was said by Steve Greenfield about people who don't vote, folks, if you live in the 19th, this is a big one. So it doesn't matter how you're going to vote, but make sure you do.
Allison, how excited will you be on November 7th?
How excited?
Yeah.
That depends on if we're still counting ballots. That will determine how excited
I am. That's a good point.
Allison got a recount in the 18th not long ago.
All right, we're out of time here. Hey, thanks so much to Ian Pickus, Allison Dunn, and Alan Chartok. Thank you all for listening, and you did the right thing by listening to the debate, and we appreciate your calls here today. Support comes from WAMC Heart and Vascular Institute, with new diagnostic cardiology suites at Mid-Hudson Regional Hospital and Health Alliance Hospitals, members of the Westchester Medical Center Health Network, WMC Health. Delgado.org. Thanks again for being with us. Our producer is Jimmy the Hammer Lavoulis. Our engineer is Zach Malloy. And Dina Salzman took your calls today. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, oh, this is exciting. Tomorrow on the program, we will answer your computer questions. So write them down, and you have 24 hours, 23 hours, and then we'll take all your computer questions tomorrow, all four of them. We'll see you later.